appropriate song for our guest.
Absolutely.
You have no idea.
Oh, my. Nisha, when you programmed the store, you probably didn't have any idea, but that is perfect.
No, not at all.
Perfect song. You nailed it. You nailed it. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Drive Through HR. It is a wonderful Friday, and yes, it is Friday, and that means vodka. I mean, it means the weekend is close, and we have a wonderful guest on today, and so we'll get right to it, actually. Stephanie, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous, and I have to say I love this song because a random fact about me is that I can rap, like, the most random rap lyrics, and I actually know, like, every word to that song. So.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm in a state where that bomb is empty, a state where you never find the dance floor empty.
now at Shermanuel, there's just, now I've got something new that we've got to go. You, maybe Matt Chardy and I, we've got to go do because we're all cut from the same cloth. Do us a favor, do the audience a favor, and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
For sure. My name is Stephanie Krieg. I'm founder of HR Culture Club, a blog that tracks all things that companies are doing for corporate culture and to just have fun. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Vine, Snapchat at HR Culture Club.
Now, before we get to the top of mind question, which will be right after this, I noticed the other day that you were talking about Snapchat and employer branding, which I think is fantastic. And I don't think there's that many people that are really kind of considering or talking about that right now. So what's the bit? How'd you get there from here?
So I travel a lot for work, and I always check out kids these days. That's what I call them. I check out their phones, and I see what they're doing on their phones. So, like, most of these days, kids are on Instagram and they're on Snapchat. Like, they're like, where are my snaps and who's on Insta? So I was like, okay, companies really need to take care of this. And then, so that was just, like, my initial thought. And then I started doing some more, like, some deeper research on it. So 77% of college kids are on Snapchat. So basically, if you want to recruit to the next wave of, you know, college graduates and you want to attract like-minded talent, you need to be on Snapchat. And there are so many cool things you can do for employer branding. Like one thing, you know, like for example, if you have a referral and you want to attract, you want your people to refer people, you can send them a snap and maybe offer like a referral, an extra referral bonus. You know, they leave work early that day. If they send over an awesome referral, who gets hired, whatever it is. But you can just really get people's interest with just a 10-second quick little snap.
Now, the fact that you actually call these people kids makes me feel even older than I already do at 46. So I appreciate that. I absolutely appreciate that. What's top of mind for you these days? What's keeping you up at night?
I think one big thing is employment branding. I'm super, just because I love social media, I've been obsessed with Instagram for a while. And that's actually where my biggest social media following is. And I get a lot of business off of Instagram, surprisingly. So I'm super into social media and just how companies can really promote transparency and share what their companies are doing to have fun to attract people to work there. Tony Hsieh said it best. He said, your culture is your brand. And I think that just the next wave of social, what we're going to see is, like, when you onboard people, you actually get their handles, like their social media handles, so that way you can tweet them or you can share their photos and you know where to look. So that's kind of really what's on my mind.
Well, Stephanie, I must tell you, your Instagram feed, I normally follow that because I get to see all the inside scenes of every organization out there in the United States and even across the globe, too. So tell us, take us through some of the behind-the-scenes stories. How do you actually get all this content that you can't put up on your Instagram, and how does that work out?
Well, thank you for following me. That's awesome. it started off, on Instagram. I've been on Instagram for almost 2 years, and it was a lot of selfies, and I was like, dude, I don't want to sit here and take selfies all day, so what am I going to post, you know? So I started checking out companies, and they weren't even on Instagram at this time, and I was like, dude, how do you get content from people about companies if the companies aren't posting themselves? And then I was like, oh, you know who's posting? Their employees. So I just started searching hashtags, basically like, you know, I love my job, you know, just like basic hashtags. And that's where I found like tons of content, and I found like the actual behind the scenes, what's going on at the companies. And that's how I started sharing it.
Great. And is this you alone, or do you have any team that you that is, you know, putting up their streams in front of their computer and looking at all the hashtags and taking all those photographs and giving it to you?
No, but I love that I've created, like, a community because I want people to feel like they have a say in what I post. And now it's awesome because people tag me in their posts. So, like, if I wake up in the morning, I usually have, like, two or three, like, options of what I want to pick to post. And companies, some are sponsored posts. I don't really disclose that, but some are sponsored posts. So, like, I like to see sharing, and it might, like, look like a, just a basic now hiring post, but really it's actually sponsored by the company.
So Stephanie, a couple things for the audience who might not be really up into culture. I mean, culture is one of those things that can be everything and nothing, and people can have kind of really crazy definitions or, about it, et cetera. What are some of the – let's go negative for just a moment. If you need to use brands, that's great, but really it's like where you've seen culture fails. Like, the, just like, if you could just kind of wave a wand, talk to a CEO and go, if you could just not do this, 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 and this, that'd be great. Like, what are the culture fails that you see?
Well, one big culture fail is there's actually, I can't think of the company name right now. They're actually over in Virginia, though. And they have, so they actually won a few culture awards. And so I started doing some research on them because one of my followers tipped me off to them. But they were doing this one practice where they handcuff their salespeople. So let's say you work there. You sign a $10,000 contract. You sign a contract that says that if you leave within a year or two, I don't know the exact things, but you actually pay the company, you owe the company $10,000 for your training, which I was like, are you kidding me? And you win culture awards. So first of all, they're trying to attract people right out of college. So you get these kids that already have student loan debt. And then they don't know any better. Like, no one tells them, like, hey, 2 years at a job is a long time, and you might really want to punch a baby by the end of the first year. So you might not want to sign a contract for $10,000 because it's not so a great place to work. That's one thing that really stands out. It made me, like, I get angry even talking about it right now. I feel like kids are getting taken advantage of.
What do you think about the concept of job hopping? So, I mean, and again, I don't want to layer any of my Gen X kind of baggage that I might bring to the table, but just what do you see and what's normal and where do you think it's going?
So one of the last statistics I read from PayScale was most people these days switch jobs 3.68 years, and that's expected to decline. I think that, like, when you got information at the speed of Encyclopedia Britannica, then, yeah, you need to stay at the job for a couple years to really get some experience and to learn. Whereas nowadays, like, you can go on YouTube and basically get YouTube certified if you're really passionate about something and, you know, just depending on how much time you put into it. So I don't really think that companies should frown so much as on job hopping. I think what they should do is look long and hard at what they can do to restructure the job description to make it more project-based and make people want to work there more. So I don't think job hopping is not necessarily a bad thing these days. Like I said, most people are changing jobs 3.5 years. So 2 years is pretty standard to be at a job before you feel like you've learned everything and it's time to move on.
So I heard this just stands.
I got one more thing on that, sorry. So another statistic I read out of, like, Forbes and Fortune, I don't remember what it was, but, like, basically if you don't switch jobs every 2 years, you lose 50% of your lifetime pay because companies still haven't got up to speed with, like, oh, hey, you get a 3% annual raise. We wait 1 year to give you a 3% annual raise. Well, if you're not making moves, like if you're not jumping companies and getting like $10,000 or thousands of dollars extra, you're losing pay over your lifetime, and it's actually really benefiting the company. It doesn't benefit you.
So I heard this on sports radio yesterday, so automatically question the source. But it's Colin Cowherd, and he mentioned, he was talking about millennials. And his bit on millennials, he's like, millennials, here's the thing. They value experience more than they value pay. And it's kind of stuck with me as I was driving around. I'm like, I don't know if I ever believe that, but let me just check with a source here. Let me talk to somebody. You know, what's your take on that? First of all, demystify millennials for us if you can. Speak to your generation. Speak for all of the generation. If you could just do that, that'd be great.
I'm just going to totally stereotype every millennial, yeah, I do think, like, in terms of, like, the scope of a job, like, if I'm speaking to a potential employer, one thing that is important to me, like, if this is out of the scope of my job description, would it be something I would be allowed to work on, or would it be something I'd be given extra time to work on, or, you know, just questions like Google, like, the 20%, you know, to work on whatever you want thing. I think that is something. I think that people default to pay when there's something they don't like about the company and they don't know how to verbalize it. Like, for example, honestly, they didn't like the way their manager treated them. Like, but for a few dollars more, they would have been okay with their manager, you know, being a jerk to them. So I think people default to pay, like they say pay is the reason why I left or pay is the reason why I didn't take the job, when they don't know how to verbalize or communicate the intangible way they felt. I do think in terms of experience, and I do think of opportunity, I would take a job for sure over, like, pay any day. Obviously, I'm not going to get paid pennies on the dollar, but, you know, I'm going to make sure I'm valued. But, yeah, I could see that.
That is great. Well, Stephanie, you have been going to all of these corporates and then talking to their HR and employees. And, in fact, that is a great job out there because you are the person, you know, we can rely on and can check out what is happening in each and every corporate and getting to know a little bit of their culture, too. So what are some of the cool things that you have seen organizations do when it comes to, you know, making a fun work environment?
Oh, there's so many. Okay.
I know there are so many because, yeah, you know, normally everybody talks about, yay, we're having a fun work environment, but definitely are they really fun when you step inside that organization?
Yeah, I do think they're really fun. One company that I'm in love with right now, I, like, joke around that I don't have crushes on, like, guys. I crush on companies. One company that I have a huge crush on is Clearlink. They're a company out of Salt Lake City. Shout out to Sean. He's awesome. Anyways, they do really cool stuff. Like, okay, one of their rewards was they got $40,000. AT&T is one of their clients. They got $40,000 from AT&T to kind of, like, reward the sales team and do whatever they want. So what they did was they went to, like, a roller rink and they put, like, all these dollar bills on the ceiling. And basically all the salespeople that qualified could run in and grab all these dollars, and the dollars represented, like, a certain amount of money. So they were basically ripping money off the ceiling that they've won. I've shared it on my Instagram. And what was awesome is, like, a couple people commented, like, that wouldn't be their idea of a reward. Like, that sounds like hell to them, which is awesome because then they wouldn't be a good fit for Clearlink's culture. So I think that, like, when people start sharing stuff that they do, like rewards like that, and people actually say, hey, that sounds like my idea of a nightmare, they're like, awesome. You know this isn't the culture for you. And that's why I think, like, transparency and employment branding plays such a key role in attracting talent. What are some other cool things? So I love Mind Valley. They're out of Kuala Lumpur. Their goal is to be the world's best place to work by 2020. And they're doing a love week, and it's February 9th through the 13th. And basically, it's kind of like a secret Santa, but instead of, like, for Valentine's Day, you pick a name out of a hat. Everyone gets to draw somebody. It doesn't matter what title, if they're the CEO or if they're the male person. It doesn't matter what their title is. Everyone picks a name, and then you get to anonymously show that person love throughout the week in whatever form you're comfortable with. And then at the end of the week, you, like, reveal the person. So I think that's, like, really cool, just, like, a different twist on Valentine's Day. Of course, anything Zappos does, I nerd out on. yeah, those are just, like, some of the things that I've been seeing.
Well, cool to know. But one of the unique things that you do is throughout, you know, you following the hashtag and taking the photograph that employees share, and even when you step inside a corporate, you talk to the employees, that you are so close to these employees that are working in that organization. So normally in a world when we are talking on the show or when we talk to any executives, yes, they can talk about the culture of their organization all day long. But what does the culture mean to their own employees, which – what do you hear from the employees? What does culture mean to them?
I think at the end of the day, like, you can offer people tons of money. You can, you know, provide them with all the free food and lunch. But I think at the end of the day, it always comes down to the people you work with. I think that that's why employment branding has been on my mind so much in attracting talent, is because at the end of the day, it's the people you work with. you're not leaving the company. You know, what do they say? You don't leave your company, you leave your boss or whatever. I think that rings true in any organization and any company culture, is that it's the people that you work with. You want to work with passionate people. You want to work with people that set the bar high, that push you out of your comfort level. I think that is like the biggest thing, is at the end of the day, it's the people you work with.
So let me get you to respond to something. I believe the employer brand is a game of truth. And most of what is in the space around employer brand, because we're really early stage, we're talking about anthropologists and archaeologists years from now will then go back and say, well, it's very early in that whole bit. And a lot of it's happy, feel-good stuff. And it's our employees are awesome. Our management is awesome. Everything's flawless. Products are great. Like, it's a lot of rainbows and unicorns type stuff. And I don't subscribe to any of that. I believe that everything's flawed, people are screwed up, and bad decisions happen all the time. So I like the brands that actually push all of their warts and all of the, you know, the anything that would be negative, I like all of that to be transparent. So
yeah.
I think it's about managing this brand drop-off. Like, you told me everything was great. I started, and in the first 30 days, I find out the CEO is a sexual predator. You know, not so awesome. So it's that type of stuff. So, like, I want to get your response to, what's the game here? What's the game right now in employer branding, and what do you think about putting kind of your frailties and your warts forward as opposed to the unicorns and glitter?
I love unicorns and glitter, William, so we would get along fabulously. I think it's great you mentioned this. I think that one of the things, companies are just like people, and I think one of the things that reasons why we like people is because they have flaws and they have cracks. So I do think that, like, for example, you know, Glassdoor is an awesome resource to get some, like, feedback on what your company sucks at, for lack of a better word. So if you're on Glassdoor, you're trolling it, and you see that your company, you know, everybody mentions middle management. You know, they create a bottleneck, whatever it is, but middle management is the problem. And then you kind of go back to the drawing board and say, well, how can we get rid of some of this, you know, red tape, some of this bureaucracy to make it a more efficient workforce? I think that is actually can be really powerful in your employment brand to say, like, hey, this is something that we realized we were really bad at, and this is how we work to make it better. And while we're still working on it, here's where we're at. And I think that also, if you value transparency, that's something that people appreciate. I even think, like, for example, like, you know, saying you're a work in progress, you're trying to fix things, I think that's a big deal. So there's a new generation coming out, they're Gen Z, and they're, like, they make me feel old. But one of the things that it says that Gen Z is now looking for is they're not looking for the perfect fairy tale, like you said. They're like you, William. They're not looking for a perfect company. They want to know what's wrong with it, and they want to know what the companies are going to do to fix it. And that includes, like, just even marketing to them in general. So I think that, like, it's really powerful. It's called storytelling. That's basically what employment branding is. I think it's really powerful to put yourself out there and say, hey, this is what we are not good at. This is how we're trying to fix it. And while it's not perfect yet, we're still working on it. Your CEO is a sexual predator. I don't know if I would really put that out there, though, but maybe you should just keep that, like, on the down low. But otherwise, I think that it just goes with transparency, and you should put it out there. I think people appreciate it more than, like, sweeping it under the rug and being like, hey, we all only have unicorns and glitter and fairy tales here. Because we know everyone knows that.
Well, we have a question on our Twitter stream, Stephanie, and that is from, shout out to Julian Bond. Thanks, Julian, for your question. And here is the question, Stephanie. What do you think about recruiters using newer platforms like Snapchat to target the younger Gen Xers?
I think it's awesome. I think that, like, for example, if you're just a recruiter in general, like, not for a company, but just you're a recruiter, and you go into companies to get them as clients, like, I think it would be a fabulous tool to be like, okay, you're already texting potential candidates anyway, so you probably have them stored in your phone, and they are probably on Snapchat. So I think it'd be, like, really cool to come up, like, hey, you're visiting this company for today, because they want to hire, you know, X amount of people. And you put together a story. I don't know if people know what a Snapchat story is, but basically it's a compilation of your snaps throughout the day. So you put together like a story and you show like, hey, this is the company break room. This is like, you know, the CEO of the company giving like a 10-second spiel. This is like where the company is located. I think it would give people a really good feel for a company, and it eliminates, like, for example, when you're interviewing for jobs, you know, and they say like, hey, we have a really cute office located, you know, wherever, and you go into the office and you're like, this is your idea of cute. Like, cute's very relative and very subjective, and this is your idea of cute, you know? So I think that, like, you can really just use it. And you put a personal, like, touch on it, and you send someone a snap. Like, if I got a snap from a recruiter, I'd be like, oh, my gosh. Like, I feel really flattered that they were sending me a snap, that they thought of me, that they thought this would be a good company for me. I think it helps build an actual community of potential candidates, like a talent pool, versus just, like, hey, this is a shout-out email blast to all of you, and people just delete it. So, yeah, that's, I think it could be, like, a really powerful tool.
Well, thanks, Julianne Bond, and that is a great segue to my next question, which, in fact, we should definitely ask you as you are being an expert on Instagram. So what are your tips to our employers when it comes to using Instagram for employer branding?
One of the biggest things I think people miss, like, whatever, on Instagram is they put a lot of stock photos, which I don't think, like no one wants to see stock photos on Instagram. I see that, like, there's one really big company, and they have, like, a whole, like, you can tell they have a really big marketing strategy for Instagram, and while it's LinkedIn, like, it's motivational, I guess, but, like, at the same time, it doesn't tell me anything about the company. Like, it's great that, like, you want me to have a happy Monday, but, like, it's kind of a waste of a post, in my opinion, because it doesn't tell me anything about the company. It doesn't tell me anything about why I want to work there. And LinkedIn's employees post the best photos. Like, they have, like, flipograms. They have, like, these videos. They just post the best photos about LinkedIn. That's actually where I get all my information. So I think in terms of that is, like, one thing. You don't want to, like, you don't want to create a photo. You just want to, like, awesome, like, photo, like, hey, this is what's going on at the company, and then post something about it. Another powerful way to use Instagram, I think, is that companies aren't doing is to tie it to hiring. I see a lot of people, like, say, hey, like, you know, this is what we're doing today, but then they don't say, now hiring, we have these open positions. They don't take that extra step. I think that a photo combined with the now hiring is a really powerful way to almost rewrite your job description instead of just saying, you know, 3 to 5 years of experience, blah, 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 and take a photo of your job description. You can post a photo and say, hey, if you think this is cool, then try come work here with us.
That is really cool. Well,
sorry, I was on mute. My bad. My coughing fits. So, Stephanie, take us into your kind of your personal world for a moment. You know, how you make money, your business, but also where you're taking this thing. Where you think you're driving this bus that you have?
Oh my gosh, we're going to drive the bus into the ocean. No, just kidding. I'm obsessed with it. Like, I live, breathe, and eat corporate culture. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I think at the end of the day, of course, I want to be like the biggest corporate culture company in the U.S. That's one of my big, like, hairy, ambitious goals, I guess, if you will. And then another thing too is I think that like, HR kind of needs, like, a fun spokesperson, and that's always kind of been my goal, like, a fun voice, and that's always been my goal, too. Like, I purposely, and I don't want to mitigate anybody in, like, the field, because I think everybody has their own voice, and everybody has their own style, and everyone's super intelligent and super accomplished. I read some posts, but I don't read a ton of posts, because I just think that, like, I kind of want to come up with my own ideas. And so I just kind of go with, like, what other companies are doing versus kind of, like, reading what, like, the typical, you know, like, what the typical, like, HR person is saying. I just go with what the companies are saying and doing and kind of go a different path. So that's kind of – I always joke around and say that I want to be, like, the Martha Stewart of HR because basically she's, like, a household name, so why not? And then I think, too, one thing that's important to me is just to be myself. Like, I think, you know, like, I like to have fun. I like to drink, and I want to get paid to just be myself. I'm doing a podcast with HireVue with a few people over there. Ben Martinez, shout out to HR Hound, and then Gabe over there, who's really big into social selling. And we're doing like a secret tech sauce podcast that we're starting. And I think like on that podcast, like, I get to swear, like, I get to be myself. I have sometimes, like, you know, I like to drink, and it's totally cool just to be yourself. So I think at the end of the day, I just want to, like, get paid to be myself, right?
All right. Well, all the very best to you. And one more thing, Stephanie, that I really wanted to ask you is, because you captured all these unique things that are happening in the organization, and one thing which one that I read recently is that your latest blog on cooking lawns and their lingo, their swear words, as you said, boss, HR, department, employees should not, these all words should be banished from their vocabulary, and they should use team or leader or leadership in that place. So tell us, you know, some of the unique things that are that you still remember right now, going through the corporate, these corporates, and then some of the unique things that you wanted to share.
Yeah, lingo is super important. It's funny, if you talk to anyone from Quicken Loans, like, literally the hilarious thing is I'll be at a bar with people that work there, and they'll be like, hey, you know, like, I'll tell them about a crappy customer service thing I had, mm-hmm. and they'll be like, ew, that person doesn't believe in every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, which is one of their isms or their values. So not only do they live, like, the lingo when they're inside of work, they live it outside of work. Like, they're, like, they won't, like, if they're working with another company, they'll be like, oh, their team. They won't even say the word department. Like, it's not even a swear word at this point. Like, it doesn't even enter their brain. It's so funny how, like, they chug the Kool-Aid over there for that stuff, which is awesome. So Quicken Loans is awesome with their lingo. I think Zappos is really awesome in terms of everybody, like, owning the culture. Like, so, mm-hmm. you know, people can just start stuff and they own their culture. Same thing, core values. I mean, core values are huge. People first, core values are second. You know, like, you'll literally give the someone, Cody was giving me a tour the other day, and he was like, you know, this is core value number four, you know, always have fun or whatever it is. And I was like, wow, it's funny that he even just says it in, like, his normal lingo. Like, that's how they think. This is cool. This is what core value it is. So core values are really important. Purpose is really important, too. Giving people a reason to jump out of bed in the morning, you know, there's a reason why they choose to go to work and work with other people. So purpose is really important. And having a really big, ambitious, lofty purpose is always good. So it's not very specific. It's lofty. I'm trying to think. Red Ventures, they're out of North Carolina. They're awesome about, like, empowering their people. Like, a couple people wanted a Zumba class. So instead of, like, going to a bunch of people and getting a bunch of signatures, they just took it all upon themselves. They got an instructor. They set up the time. They reserved the room. They did everything that they needed to do to get their Zumba class going, which is awesome because it's, like, normally that could take, like, 6 months to get it started. And by that time, it loses traction. You're like, yeah, after Zumba class, I just went after work. I'm good. Whereas, you know, they took it upon themselves. Red Ventures gives them that, you know, to run with it and do it and own it. And I think stuff like that really makes a difference in your culture.
Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining with us today. Always a pleasure having you on the show.
Hey.
And we really appreciate your support and your insights, and look forward to following you on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. So,
yeah, everywhere. Snapchat, add me. Woohoo!
Yeah, sure. So, Stephanie, where do you want our audience to connect with you?
Yeah, HR Culture Club, everywhere. Instagram, Vine, Twitter, Snapchat. Yeah, you name it, I'm on it. HR Culture Club.
Wonderful. So, folks, that was Stephanie Craig. Follow her on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, everywhere, HR Culture Club. So have a wonderful weekend to all of you. Thanks, William, and bye, Stephanie.
Sunshine, she'll heal. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like, I don't care, baby, by the way.